As we've mentioned, Mississippi holds its primary tomorrow. The state is getting more attention than usual, but we thought we'd spend a moment thinking more broadly about what it means to be from Mississippi. Let's just admit it. We've all heard the jokes. Maybe we've even told one or two. Visit Mississippi so you can feel better about your own state. I don't think it's a secret that some people still see Mississippi as almost a metaphor for lightly educated, racially divided, and overrun with good old boys. But joining us today are Mississippians who want to both acknowledge their state's troubled past and also its accomplishments. They are Mississippi and proud of it. From Mississippi Educational Television in Jackson, we have Rick Lucer. He's co-owner of Cyrillot Ad Agency. Derek Johnson, state president of the Mississippi NAACP. I think he's with us on the phone. And Janelle Jefferson. She's a student advisor at Jackson State University and an alumna. And we're pleased to have you all of us here with us today. Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Now, Rick, if we could start with you and your ad campaign. I think a lot of people have seen these ads by now. Mississippi, believe it. One of the ads caught our eye. Yes, we can read. A few of us can even write. And you've got pictures of some of the state's very prominent writers, both very famous names and some contemporary names, kind of in your face. What made you want to do this campaign?
Well, it's what I call the look, where you travel pretty much north of Memphis and somebody asks, where are you from? And you say Mississippi, and they go, oh. And it is that kind of, oh, you poor thing, or, oh, I'm sorry you can't get out. But it's somehow that I don't have a choice about where I live. And it's just kind of acknowledging the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is kind of the joke you alluded to in the beginning, is that we tend to be first on every bad list and last on every good list. And we just wanted the rest of the country to see another side of Mississippi.
What kind of reaction are you getting?
Well, the reaction's been quite frankly overwhelming. We've had everything from the New York Times, who sent a writer down here for a week. This time last year, we had a segment on the Today Show. So we've generated probably about $20 million worth of positive publicity for the state of Mississippi. And again, this was all done, and it continues to be done, pro bono. Nobody's paying our ad agency to do any of this. This is just something we wanted to do.
Derek Johnson, could you give us your take on this? On the one hand, you're obviously working in service to the state as head of the state's NAACP, but obviously that also implies that you think that there's work yet left to be done. When you think about being a Mississippian, what do you feel? Do you feel what, pride? What is it mainly?
Well, I think Mississippi has come a long way. African-Americans specifically is a constituency base in which I represent and work with. Have achieved a lot in the state of Mississippi. Perhaps more progress have been made in the state for African-Americans than most other states in the country. However, there's still a lot of work to be done. Referring to the ad, agency campaign, you have the one ad talking about the accomplished writers in the state, but yet Mississippi still has the poorest education, public education system in the country. It's a battle every year to get it fully funded. We talk about the accomplishments of athletes in the state. However, historically black colleges are grossly underfunded. The athletic programs are grossly underfunded. Their academic programs are grossly underfunded. Where Mississippi have more black elected officials than any other state, a tremendous accomplishment, but that only happened as African Americans speaking up and fighting to create opportunities for that to happen. And even though we have more black elected officials than the other state, there's always an attempt to undermine the efforts of African Americans from casting an effective ballot to elect candidates of their choice. So where we've come a long way, we still have a lot of work to do.
Janelle, one of the things that many states have experienced is a brain drain, that once people get their college educations, they leave for greener pastures elsewhere. You've elected to stay in Mississippi. Why is that?
I can say that I'm a Mississippi girl, born and raised. I love the South, but I was so fortunate I received the public education, from the state of Mississippi, as well as my higher education and just my pride. I had the opportunity to leave. My husband and I, we're both Mississippi students, and, we decided to stay here, to show that, hey, we're here, we love it, it's no better place to be as far as the opportunities right now that we're being afforded. I'm I can just say that the community, you know, that I live in, as well as the community that I grew up in, I get the support base. You're nurtured, you know.
And speaking of nurturing, I think we hear your 19-month-old in the in the background, so we're happy about it. So I think part of, though, what I think you were telling us earlier is that you think it's a very family-oriented environment. It's a great place to raise a family.
Right, right.
Why is that?
Like I was just saying before, you know, the community, we still have, you know, neighbors where you can go out and say, okay, hey, neighbor, can I borrow a cup of sugar? You know, I think that, you know, that it's still important to a lot of people. And I do know for a fact a lot of my friends who are from other states, once they come here, you know, they feel the camaraderie, you know, and then they're very hesitant to leave. So, you know, people I went to college with, you know, end up coming back here to raise their families because of the community that we have and that we share with each other. You can't beat Southern hospitality, and Mississippi is full of it.
Okay. Rick, I understand you actually grew up in Alabama.
I did. I lived there until I was 27 years old, and love brought me to Mississippi.
So you've fallen in love not just with, I assume, your partner, but with your state. So what is it that you think still needs to happen to make people see Mississippi in a new light?
Well, I think Mississippi, don't get me wrong, I've said over and over that we were our own worst enemy and that these stereotypes didn't just appear out of nowhere. I think we've done a lot of work to hopefully get rid of some of the stereotypes, but really, until you get to know us, you can't really know where we are today. Hurricane Katrina did a lot towards that. Terrible disaster, but one of the best PR things to ever happen to Mississippi, in that people from all over the country who would never have come to Mississippi actually came to help out, and they learned about the people. They learned about the things that are going on here today, and are now back in their communities all over the country, telling hopefully what I think is a different story about how Mississippians think and how we are.
Derek, you wanted to make the point that all is still not well, that you feel that the state still sort of suffers some of the educational inadequacies. You still feel that the sort of the political system doesn't fully, as I hear you say, recognize the contributions of everyone equally. What do you think needs to happen to change things?
You know, Mississippi is a story of contradictions and ironies. I mean, the people are great. The policies that politicians advance are not always equitable. You talk about Katrina. We had probably the highest number of volunteers, both from in-state and out-state, to come and help and assist. And it was a beautiful thing if you went down to Mississippi Gulf Coast. While at the same time, with close to $5.1 billion that was appropriated by the federal government for the recovery efforts, home renters were completely left out of the governor's plan. Low-income workers was virtually left out of governor's plan. So here we are over 2.5 years after the Katrina hurricane, and individuals who were most vulnerable before the hurricane, working every day, have not received any support to recover.
I understand. I understand where you're coming from, but I'd like to ask you what you think needs to happen to change some of the dynamics that you're talking about.
Right. Well, I was getting to that. But the unfortunate part is when we begin to tout only the positive and don't deal with the current day realities, then we will brush over what currently exists as problem. So people will be lulled to sleep thinking that everything is okay. So we have to talk about the good stories, but we also must recognize that there's still much work to be done.
What happens when you travel and you tell people you're from Mississippi? What reaction do you get, and how do you feel about it, Derek?
I get both reactions. I get both negative and positive. And if it's overly negative, I say, well, no, slow down. You know, Mississippi is better off than Washington, D.C. in many ways for African Americans.
Now, hold on. Step light now. We're in Washington. Okay, but
well, at the same time, I also say that, but we're still working to get better. So it's a balanced discussion that we always must have.
Okay, Janelle, what do you see in your future? Do you see yourself here? You are a member of a young family and opportunities ahead. What do you see in your future? Do you see yourself staying in Mississippi? And if so, why? And what would you say to those who would say, "Look, girl, you know, you need to go where the grass is greener"? What would you tell them?
Well, I will say that, you know, our grass is pretty green right now as far as my economic future is concerned here in the state. I believe that what I'm doing, what I love to do, you know, and working in the university, at Jackson State University, I'm just I believe that I will be able to succeed a little bit better here. You know, of course, my husband and I, we talked about, you know, moving and you know, looking at some other places. But when we both sit down and look at, you know, a lot of the factors, including cost of living, and, you know, I believe, you know, we could be here and do, you know, pretty well for ourselves. And right now, you know, we don't really know what the future holds. If we do leave, you know, I'm definitely, you know, we're coming back, you know, to live. But I don't see right now in our future we won't be going anywhere just because of the opportunities that, you know, that I've been afforded. I believe we're doing pretty good right now.
I don't know whether you even care what other people think, but if you've ever had the reaction that Derek's reported, that Rick has reported, where people go, oh, you're from Mississippi, you know, do you all have shoes down there, that kind of thing. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, somebody asked me one time, you know, do you have paved roads? Is it 100 degrees in the shade, you know? And I mean, I can only, you know, I'm, like I said, a strong advocate. Of course, I know, you know, I agree with Derek that, you know, we must recognize our, you know, our past, our history, and our mistakes in order to rectify them. But, you know, we are moving forward. And, like, you know, if you're not from here, you haven't been here, then you're ignorant to the fact, you know, of the things that we have going on here, the positive things, as well as, you know, the negative things, just like any other place in the United States. So just because we have this stigma attached to us, you know, I don't always agree with the way people, you know, portray Mississippi in movies with the dirt roads, and, you know, like we don't have civilization here. But, you know, I could just say, you know, I am proud of where I'm from, and I know that we have a long ways to go. But, you know, I just, It's important for me to instill, you know, pride in my son, let him know, you know, let anybody tell you that, you know, that because you're from Mississippi that you're slower, you're this or you're that.
I understand. All right. Well, thank you. Rick Lucer, finally, I understand that you have a new series of ads. Can you give us a sneak peek, a little preview?
Yes. Yes, we actually are highlighting a couple new things. One, we've highlighted in the past our being poor and being not having the best education system is a kind of a it is a victim of circumstance for some people, but we also see what is a decision of the heart is how much we give. And Mississippi, for 8 out of the last 10 years, have given more than any other state based on our income to charitable causes. And so one of the ads will actually highlight that. And Miss Osceola McCartney, who is a now deceased, but a washerwoman from Hattiesburg who saved up nickels and dimes, over $150,000, who funded a scholarship for those who can't afford to go to college. So that's one of the new ads that will actually be debuting here in the next couple of weeks, along with another three or four.
And where will we see them? Where can we see them?
Well, you'll actually see them on our website, MississippiBelieveIt.com. And then I imagine there will be, if the past is any indication, then there'll be a number of news stories that feature those ads and feature the continuing story on our effort to change the hearts and minds
of the rest of the country
about Mississippi.
All right.
That's right. You better believe it. That's our whole budget is free media, so it better do that.
All right. Rick Lucer is co-owner of Surlot Ad Agency. He's the brains behind the Mississippi Believe It ad campaign. He joined us from Mississippi Educational Television. We were also joined by Derek Johnson, president of the Mississippi NAACP, and Janelle Jefferson, an advisor at Jackson State University. They were on the phone. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Michelle.